For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, JoJo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Back to all the phone calls here on the Phils. We've uncovered something serious here. Andrew Painter has to continue going by Andy. That's the name if he wants to win Cy Youngs. We'll get to that. Were you bothered yesterday by the Phillies and that press conference? And, of course, there's so much Eagles going on here that we need to bring on our weekly guest, Seth Joyner. He's coming up with us right now, Kyle.
Yeah, and Seth is sponsored by Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook. Pre and post game with Seth Joyner at Parks Casino for every Birds game all season. Must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER.
Seth, how you doing today?
Seth!
Always good, fellas. What's happening?
Well, Seth's been an interesting week around here.
The Eagles, a lot going on.
Yeah,
man.
It is. The Eagles got a win, but obviously we've spent a lot of time discussing the stuff not to do with the game. That's Nick Sirianni. Seth, what did you make of Sirianni Sunday? And then obviously you apologize after, but just, you know, we know what he's a coach that has a lot of energy. He's unique, but that was different on what we saw on Sunday. What did you make of it and what he did on Sunday?
You know, I had Ike on my podcast last night, and I posed this question to him. And I think I may have posed it to Hugh the other day, you know, when we crossed paths Monday morning. I said, you know, if somebody came in the studio, Joe, and they said to you, and they sat across from you for an entire day, fire Joe Giglio, Joe Giglio ain't bleak. You know, at some point in time, the ego inside of you, the pride inside of you is going to say something. You can't hold that in. Hugh, it's like, you know, when that guy do something to you after the whistle and you know that if you retaliate, you're going to get a flag.
Mm-hmm.
But your pride just won't let you walk away and you do it and get it. And then
pride is a mofo. Pride is a mofo.
Yeah. So I just want to throw that out there, you know, to all the listeners that say he need to act a little more professional. I'm not condoning. I'm not defending. I'm just saying consider it, you know.
That's why this is why me and Seth get along, because we're like minded,
kindred
in this.
Spirits. So Seth, I think it's fair. I think it's a fair thing to bring up. But doesn't he have to though? Even though it's hard, he's the leader. So I think of this. So a couple weeks ago, they were in New Orleans. Jalen Carter was pretty heated on the sideline. He's an emotional player. The Eagles have a good amount of emotional players. A lot of them are good players, like obviously Jalen. And Sirianni tried to calm him down. Seth, do you think it's hard for the coach to try to calm down a player if the player sees the coach doing the same thing?
Well, you know, we're a hell of a lot more mature and reasonable when it comes to things like this, because we can look at it from the outside and look in and say, well, you know, that's like a parent. Do what I say, not what do what I tell you to do, not what you see me do.
Right.
So we understand that. But as players, the majority of them are mature enough to really even look at it in that way and see the difference. Maybe some of them are. But you're 100% correct. Like I said, I'm not condoning it, and I'm not defending them either. But I'm just saying that sometimes your emotions, and as a head coach, yes, you have to be the even keel one. Are you ever going to see Andy Reid do that? You ever going to see Bill Belichick do that? You ever going to see any of the great coaches, you know, of the past ever do that? Absolutely not, you know, because they're mature enough to just walk away and walk to the tunnel and go on about their business. But not everybody, you know, is built that way. Not everybody's built to play in Philly, and not everybody's built to coach in Philly. It ain't easy playing and coaching here, man.
I just want to say, Seth, I want to tell Joe, I haven't talked to Seth. I'm not telling Seth to say this, but I...
Kindred spirits. Him,
no, but I said that the other day, Seth. I said that it's hard to play here, and there's only a certain amount of people that have played here that have thrived here. And it's not for the faint of heart. It really isn't. It's not for the faint of heart.
Well, I heard your comment the other day about him cutting his hair off before the game. and what might have been going on and transpiring, man, I'm telling you, man, I just people on the outside just don't understand the pressure and what goes along with being with coaching in this city, the expectations that go along with it, so on and so forth. And listen, he was up under it, man.
he's still up under it.
That was 100% release of everything that was going on over a 3-4 week span that he was dealing with. We got to win. Exhale. He didn't give a damn about, you know, how close the game was, what the expectations
was. He got the W.
He got the W, and he could exhale for a minute.
Yeah, until next week, till we go to what's it, MetLife Sunday.
Everybody worrying about them little G men, man.
I tell you what though, but I Seth, they better win. They better win Sunday, and it better. This is the thing, and me and Joe talked about this too. It has to be. I'm not gonna say it has to be a blowout, but it has to be more convincing than it was last week.
You know, listen, this is my thing, and I say it all the time. There's 1,696 players in the NFL. They ain't no bad teams. They're just poorly run organizations and poorly coached organizations, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They got some good players up there. I watched Brian Burns.
Yeah, they got a good defense.
Good Lord, man.
They got some defensive players.
It ain't going to be no easy task. And, you know, Daniel Jones is the type of quarterback, you better put some pressure on him, because if you sit back there and you let him get in the rhythm, you let him get comfortable, he can make some throws. He makes some dumb decisions sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But it ain't going to be no easy game, man. There ain't no such thing as easy games. And this is where – you know, the fan base, the media, everybody kind of gets caught up. It's hard to win games in the National Football League. You know, sometimes you're going to beat the brakes off a team. Sometimes you're going to just barely get by. And listen, they ain't setting them lines in Vegas for you to win. They know exactly what they're doing. When the Eagles threw that long ball to A.J. Brown the other day, everybody was hoping they was going to at least kick a field goal so we would cover. Nope. You got a four-six-point victory. There's more going on behind the scenes than meet the eye. There's a whole lot of money at stake. I'm just going to leave it right there. I ain't no conspiracy theorist.
Seth, let's talk about the one aspect of the game Sunday that did seem like it was an improvement and it was good. It was the defense. They played well, held them to 9 points. Obviously, they scored 7, the Browns, on the touchdown on special teams. When you watched it, did you feel like we really turned a corner defensively, or was a lot of that or some of it because the Browns are just having so many issues on their offensive side and with their quarterback? How good was the defense Sunday in your eyes?
Well, two things, Joe. I'm trying to decipher whether the game plan was as aggressive as it is because of the anemic Cleveland Brown offense and their quarterback, Deshaun Watson, or is this going to be their identity? Because we were aggressive week one against the Packers. We came back against the Falcons, not so aggressive. We came back, beat the Saints. Nobody thought they had a chance of winning. Aggressively, they won the game. Defense just showed out. And we thought that was going to be the launching point, you know, for the defense. They go down to Tampa, passive again, get the doors blown off of them. They come back this week, you know, very aggressive. So who are you going to be? Who are you going to be based upon? Is it based upon who you're playing, or that's just going to be your personality? Only time will tell in the next couple of weeks who they definitively are going to be. An aggressive defense is going to press you at the line of scrimmage. It's going to bring pressure. You know, I give Vic a lot of credit. I saw a lot of things that he ran this past week that I haven't seen in his repertoire before. I don't know, Joe. I don't know who they are yet. I think they're still trying to figure out after 5 games who the heck they are. But what I do know is that I live on the side of being more aggressive than not. You know, this team is one of the worst teams in the National Football League defensively at creating turnovers, forcing turnovers. You can only force turnovers when you're aggressive. That means you're forcing and you're pushing the action. When you're always passive and you're sitting back, the offense just ain't going to give you the ball because you want it. You got to go and take it. That's why it's called a forced turnover. So I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't know who they are yet. And, you know, I'm hoping that this is going to be the launching point that we expected after the Saints game for both the offense and the defense. But they kind of looked like they exhaled a little bit against Tampa and got taken out to the woodshed, especially defensively. Hopefully they've learned their lesson at that level against the Saints and what we saw defensively last week against the Browns is what they're going to have to bring to the table every single Sunday.
Seth, a lot of conversation this week on how the offense looks, just with your eyes, similar to last year, even though Kellen Moore is here, and trying to figure out why that is. Yesterday, Kellen Moore said that they use Jalen Moore in the shotgun because he's a runner, and it's better to use him that way there in the shotgun. They're not under center. Kellen Moore's pass stops, especially Dallas, Dak was under center a lot. What do you make of this? Because I thought it would look more like Kellen Moore's old offenses. It doesn't really so far.
Well, we had these conversations, you know, a couple of weeks ago. You know, it was revealed that Nick Sirianni was, you know, delving into the play calling. I still think that this is his offense. I think when you look at pass charts and you see the, you know, where the routes are dispersed, that it's still the same. Everything is outside the numbers. They don't utilize the middle of the field. That was a flaw with the offense last year. You know, third down situations, especially right before the half, you got third and one, zero blitz coming. You got A.J. Brown lined up to the quarterback's left, one-on-one with a DB that's playing 8 yards off the ball. Now, any other quarterback in the National Football League, or experienced quarterback, I should say, would have raised up and just thrown his number one receiver the ball in that scenario. And, you know, he would have got a first down, maybe made the DB miss the tackle and off to the races, potentially for a touchdown right before the half. No, what do we do? And I get it. Saquon's got to pick up that block. And if he does, Devontae's probably going to score a touchdown on that post route. But we don't take the easy stuff. You know it's zero blitz. And you know you're only going to have a split second to get the ball out of your hand. But we get greedy sometimes. And that greedy turned into a sack, a blocked field goal, and a 10 to 14 point swing in a game that the Eagles either should have been up 13 to nothing or 13 to 3 or 17 to 3 going in at half. Instead, you go in 10 to 10. So, you're preaching to the choir when you talk about what I think about what this offense looks like. This offense looks a lot like it did last year. Not only, you know, from a visual standpoint, but from a philosophical standpoint and what they believe that they should be doing against blitz coverage. No, you take the short stuff. You convert the first down and you keep going. You had two timeouts left. There was no reason for you to try to wait and get greedy and throw the ball downfield when you had the layup right there to the left. I don't understand. And people will be like, well, oh, that's Jalen and his decision-making. No, he's being coached to play that way. That's the organizational philosophy. That's the head coach's philosophy. And that's what's being imprinted and put upon the mind of the quarterback. He is thinking that way. Because Aaron Rodgers would have looked to the left and seen that guy off the ball. Patrick Mahomes would have looked to the left and seen that guy off the ball. Every other good, great quarterback in the National Football League would have raised up and threw that ball to A.J. every day and twice on days to end in Y.
Yeah, no, you're right. It led to a big swing in that game, keeping it close. Seth, we appreciate it as always. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk next time, hopefully after a win. Thank you, Seth.
Have a good one.
You got it, guys. Go Birds.
There we go. Seth Joyner there. That was interesting stuff on the offense. He doesn't believe this is really Kellen Moore's offense.
You know what's funny? A friend of mine sent me the same route chart that he saw. And it's when you look at this team, we know AJ can run go routes. We know that. Mm-hmm. But and I think we were talking about this off air yesterday when T.O. was here. T.O. lined up everywhere. T.O. was a threat. You have players of AJ's caliber. You stress defenses by putting him in the slot. You put him on one side of the field, you put him on the other, and you make him run crossing routes. There's guys, I guarantee you, with his stature, that are going to make business decisions when they think about hitting him. He ain't about to – he's not a little dude. He's pretty sturdy. And when guys look at him and they see him coming up, this man snatched the ball out of somebody's hand.
I've always thought that A.J. Brown, he reminds me, he's Anquan Boldin but fast.
Yes.
Yeah, Anquan
Boldin was a beast.
And
he could catch, yep. and he had some of the strongest hands you've ever seen. A.J.'s a bully out there, man. He's a bully. And there's not too many routes that I don't feel that he can't run where he's going to be the imposing figure. He's going to be the bully when it comes to who's going to catch the ball.
Well, and he's been great when he's out there. They haven't had him for much. But yeah, the offense, it just visually, it looks a lot like it did in years past. 215-592-9494. We appreciate Seth hopping on there. So I also thought it was interesting. Seth's not sure if that was really the defense on Sunday, or was
nobody
that the Browns?
Is. Nobody is.
Because, you know, on one hand, you say they only allowed 9 points, right? Because the special teams was 7 of the Browns' 16 points. That's great. But on the other hand, you say the Browns stink, right? They can't move the ball on anyone. Am I really going to – do I really think they turned a corner because they did that to the Browns? It's hard to say that. Watson is that bad.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Not in the second half.
Well, at one point, I missed this during the game, Hugh. I guess it just like all folded into the thing. You know, at one point, Watson completed 11 straight passes?
Yeah, he did. He did, but it was hard to see because it was so much other bad stuff that we were looking at.
That should never happen to your defense.
Let me ask you guys a question. You know how Jalen checked to the deep pass to AJ to finish the game, right? Mm-hmm. If that's incomplete,
yes.
And it's 3rd and 11, and they have to punt the ball back,
yes.
Do the Browns win the game?
Yes.
But they didn't.
It was an if.
I felt like avoiding the question.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's an answer.
That tells you all. That tells us all we need to know.
I felt like being, non-committal.
We know.
Non-committing.
If Sirianni thinks this week was bad, if they had lost to the Browns with like 17 straight Watson completions, this thing would have be a disaster.
So, I mean, if I'm remembering correctly, there were a few moments in that game where you're like, thank God Deshaun Watson stinks. Like, yeah, the receiver's open.
Oh, yeah.
He's throwing it 10 yards behind him or 10 yards over their head. Like,
he's bad.
He's so bad.
215-592-9494. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. We can, obviously, the Eagles stuff. We'll bring to you the Sirianni presser in its entirety coming up at noon today. We also got to get to an ex-Eagle, a beloved ex-Eagle in a few minutes, that was not happy with Sirianni, what he saw on Sunday. All that coming and a report out of the NovaCare complex. What did they think of Sirianni? But first, the Philly stuff. Were you bothered by that press conference yesterday? It's our Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation. PIDentalCenter.com. I was absolutely bothered because it just felt like, a little shrug of the shoulders. We'll get him next year. It's baseball. What are you going to do? And that's not good enough. 56% yes, bothered. 44% not. Let's talk to David in Westchester. Hey, David.
David.
Hey, Joe and Hugh.
Hey, Dave.
How you doing there, brother?
You should shave your head to support Coach Sirianni. How's that sound?
You know what? I might do that. It's a good idea.
Yeah. Well, I ain't got far to go to already be there.
There you go. So let's talk about this press conference.
Mm-hmm.
Dombrowski had, I get fed word salad every single day I work, so I understand it. But he had no sense of urgency, and he just – As you guys have said, he seriously underestimated his fan base. On Wednesday, when they lost that series, I gathered up every single piece of Phillies gear I had, jerseys, T-shirts, hats, hoodies, threw every single one in the trash because trash day is on Thursday, so I couldn't go back. All right? I don't have any Phillies gear right now, and I'm not buying any Phillies gear because I am just so distraught and so upset at the way they performed. You're going to give me, that the Mets swing rate was worse. Well, you know what? The Mets got hits when they needed them. The Phillies didn't. You're going to give me that, Trey Turner. Yeah, he's okay. He's going to be fine. He's this. What happened to the best free agent shortstop that was on the market that we paid $300 million for? Where the hell did he go? He's nowhere to be found during these situations. I want World Baseball Classic Trey Turner.
Yeah, I don't know if that guy's coming back, David. That one may have stayed in Miami. I don't know if he's coming here.
Sir,
and you're right. He did underestimate, I think, the temperature of the fan base. People are frustrated. They are concerned.
Yeah, that's what that was.
And there's been an optimism around the Phillies since October of 2022 that now that worm is turning
it's
here.
It's wavering.
Yeah, and I don't think Dave realizes it yet. Now he should.
Yeah, he just needs they don't need wholesale changes. He's absolutely right. Well, they do have a good team. The team is good, but it's just not good enough. They're all the same. They're all this. We'll go back to this free swinging. And give me some disciplined hitters up there. Somebody who's not going to chase that ball. You could have a few. Bryce wants to try and hit it out every single time. Well, get somebody behind him that's going to make contact, or somebody in front of him that's going to make contact, and force him to be more disciplined. And, you know, let's go out and win the game the right way instead of just trying to hit it over the fence every single time.
Yeah, you know what it is, David? We preached the phone call. Hugh, you might relate to this. I'm not sure how much you felt it in the moment as a player. You know what I feel with this Phillies team?
What's that?
From my memory, this city started to love the Eagles again, and what Andy was building with Donovan, and you got here, right? And you guys turned that corner, right? 2000, mm-hmm. 2001. It felt like after 02, there seemed to be a sense of almost like maybe they're not going to do it, right? Like your team, there was an optimism, 2000, 2001, you're going to win the Super Bowl. This is building to a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I felt similar with the Phillies the last couple of years. You just talk to people. We talk to fans every day. An optimism that this group's going to win the World Series. At some point with your group, unfortunately, it felt like maybe they won't, right? And you got there. You almost did. But that's what I think people started to say, like, maybe they won't. And I think the fans are getting that way with this Phillies group. They're good, but I'm not sure anymore they're going to win it.
I think I know what you're talking about. It's like you've had a bite at the apple, and every year you've progressively fallen a little bit shorter than the year before.
Yep.
So now doubt starts to creep in as a player.
That's
happened.
Doubt.
Yeah, doubt starts to creep in because every year, especially when you talk about this team, it's eerily similar to the year before that. Bats go cold at the wrong time. You know, and I think there's a little bit of fatigue with the vibes and stuff like that. But at the same time, you have to figure out a way, as a fan and as a player, to muster up enough gumption, wherewithal, whatever it is, to take one more bite at it. Because you are a good team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's
just
no
like
doubt about
it. Just like your Eagles were a good team. You guys were really good.
And this is the thing. And this is why I understand why the fan base is upset, is because in that press conference, you weren't told anything to make you comfortable. You weren't. But you have to be realistic in this situation. This is still a fluid situation. The season's not over. We're just out of it.
Our season's over.
Yeah, our season's over. And we have to start putting ourselves in position to make moves, but we can't say anything right now. That's uncomfortable for us.
Can
right
I give
now.
You a comparison? If we're using the Phillies Eagles 20 years ago thing,
I got one too though. I got a good comparison for you.
Maybe we're on the same page.
Yeah, what you about to say?
You know who the TO could be?
Who is that?
His name's Juan Soto.
Oh yeah.
Go get the great player to put it over the top.
I was thinking more about when you have a girlfriend or you're somebody who's been dating for a while and you haven't told her you loved her yet. And you know, to make them feel better, she wants to hear you say you love her or whatever.
So we want Dave to say he loves us?
Well, you want him to feel the same thing that we feel.
That you do. That is no question.
See, that was a good analogy.
Well, I think we hit two analogies there.
Yeah, we did all right with that one. I'm proud of myself.
You have got to be smoking, so.
All right, our first Jerry drop. And that story is amazing what happened down there.
I mean, he doubled down.
He did.
He got bread. He's like, hey. You ain't going to be questioning me and I hired you.
The more I thought about it, because he's not in charge of hiring and firing at the station, but is that the Cowboys radio partner?
Yeah. Oh, no, so I think he is. That's
no.
I think
no.
He does like employ them technically.
Joe.
Wait, but he's not in charge of the station.
He could get them fired.
Joe.
But like, is it? I was wondering if it's like WIP with the Eagles. We're their partner. You know what I mean? Like he's so much threatening. Like I'll go. I'll put this team on a different radio station.
Do you know
station.
Who knew the hierarchy of that whole situation? The guy that was threatened? Because as soon as he was threatened, they backed that conversation all the way down. They knew.
But Jerry looks terrible.
Oh, he does, but they knew where their bread was buttered. You know what it is for me? I can't wait till next week when they talk to him.
Oh, he'll go back on.
No,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And I want to hear how the conversation is being handled. He's not going to apologize.
No, I can't wait. I can't wait to play the audio on our show.
In that situation, see, this would get me fired.
Yeah, you'd go right back.
I would definitely. Yeah, I'm swinging back, man. This is where I have not matured yet.
I feel like that answer would be something Jerry would say to Hugh.
You have got to be smoking something.
And you know what? That would be my last day on radio.
Yeah, but it'd be a good day. 215-592-9494. Coming up, all your phone calls in the Phillies. Did that press conference yesterday bother you? Plus, what Jeff McClain reported about the feeling in the NovaCare about Sirianni's antics. And we got to react to some audio from a former Eagle on what he's seeing from Sirianni. All that next. Your calls will on Midday Show. 215-592-9494 on Sports Radio 94 WIP. This year, FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, has given you a chance to win big every Thursday night with with FanDuel Squares. It's the same Super Bowl Squares game we've always known, only way better. That's because your numbers aren't just randomly assigned. You get to pick them yourself. You can pick as many as you like, and you get to see the odds beforehand. You can bet them live during the game. So what are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bet on Squares Plus. If you're new to FanDuel, you can bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets. Yeah, this works. This fits.
Not in a good way, though.
No, well, it does fit, though. We can't do the oops, I did it again with the crowd at the link again this year, can we?
I don't give a shit.
It's got to be a one-time thing.
You get one.
Yeah, you don't get two. You get two, they're escorting you out of the building with security. Welcome back.
Can you look at people crazy, though? Can you, like, get somebody to side-eye if they say something to you don't like
it? You can do side-eye.
Yeah, the side-eye, okay, side-eye is cool.
Zip that lip, though.
Well, in his post-game press conference, would have been another good opportunity for somebody to ask.
Nick, are you ill?
That would have worked. Yes, it would have. All right. Welcome back, Midday Show. 215-592-9494. Coming up, speaking of the man of the hour, Nick Sirianni's press conference at 12 today in its entirety. Before we get there, though, we'll get to all your phone calls on the Phils here and the Eagles in just a minute. But here, we got to play a couple things. One, that really, this one hit. Jeff McClain on his podcast. Listen to this, because it's one thing to have, I don't know, WIP upset. It's one thing to have fans upset. It's another thing to have your bosses upset. Hugh, you're always on this. Like, when you get that call from HR or the bosses call you up, you always have that little, like, uh-oh. Well, Sirianni probably has that uh-oh. Now, here's Jeff McClain. What did they think inside the building as Sirianni went rogue on Sunday?
Sirianni caused a 24-hour firestorm, and it was handled as such internally. Conversations were had within the building, and Sirianni came to the realization that he needed to issue a public apology. For as loud as the critical voices were outside the Eagles, I found a similar sentiment within the organization. Embarrassing is how two team officials labeled it to me when asked specifically for their reactions to Sirianni's behavior.
Embarrassing.
Who was that?
That was Jeff, the reporter.
It's way to go, Jeff. Came with a little bit of energy on that
one. I told you the pot had a little energy this time.
Uh-oh. Look at Jeff come with some energy. So I'm assuming that we're talking about Jeffrey Lurie and Howie.
I don't think these are low-level officials in the building. No. So there's someone.
Yeah. But the bottom line is this. This is a bottom line business. And that's why I keep saying it. This could be the springboard for making this team or launching this team in the right direction.
And here he is, hopeful Hugh.
No, I'm just saying, man, this story is still being written. That's the main reason why I assume that Jeffrey Lurie hasn't come out and said a word. He probably, you know, somebody that Jeff knows, higher-ups, he probably didn't approve of it, but he's going to sit back and he's going to let it play out. Because I'm telling you, this is one of those situations where this could be a good thing. There's no middle ground with this football team now, Joe. This is where we are. What they say, we're in the 25th hour. If this team doesn't have a significant turnaround, this is a super bust or bowl. This is a Super Bowl or bust mentality moving forward. Has to be. Can't be nothing else. You can't go to the playoffs and win a first round playoff game and then get you know, bumped out and expect to save your job.
Are we even sure they're going to the playoffs right now?
Joe?
Sure.
Are we sure? No, nothing's for sure because I don't know what's going to happen Sunday. Mm. Sunday's going to be telling.
Of course it is.
Sunday, and Seth talked about how good this team is and everything. Sunday's going
to
be telling.
So I always think, and usually, Hugh, this applies to players. You rarely have this conversation with coaches, but I think it's you could have the conversation. Are they worth the headache? Right? You could do it in anything in life. Is it worth the headache? Like, let's use T.O. for an example. T.O. at times was a headache, right? He was a lot, and that's why he bounced around. But at his best, was T.O. worth?
I believe so.
I agree with you. He's one of the three greatest receivers I've ever seen. I mean, and I put them up there with Randy Moss. Like, that's how great he was. And Jerry Rice, he was worth the headache. At the end of the season, The Eagles are going to ask themselves, is Nick Sirianni's coaching worth this?
And that's
where you come back with the success. If they win or keep winning, and he has four straight playoff trips, and maybe they win a game, then maybe they'll say, you know what, it is. But if they sputter out here and they go 8-9, he's not worth it.
Oh, he's not coming.
No.
Like Joe, that's why I say this is either going to be really, really good or it's going to be really, really bad. And the culmination of all this is going to have to be a Super Bowl. It's going to have to be. When you cut your hair like that, it says a lot of things to me. But it also, the biggest thing that it says to me, damn it, if I go out, I'm going out my way. That's what Coach Sirianni did. When he brought his kids up onto the press conference and did that, he said, whatever happens, I'm okay with, if I go down in a blaze of glory, I'm cool with going down the way that I went down. That's what he did.
So you mentioned the hair again. Let's hear from Chris Long. I think you guys are also kindred spirits. Chris Long and his
one of my favorite players when he played, man. I'm here to tell you. When he got drafted, one of my favorite players.
Green Light Podcast. Here's Chris Long on the Sirianni situation. And before we play this, when we use audio from Chris and his takes, I feel like Chris Long still feels like an Eagle. Like he talks like he played here longer than he did, which I think people resonate with because he loved being an Eagle. He won here.
And it's weird because he went to the Super Bowl with the Patriots the year before.
But my perception is he feels a connection to the Eagles. He still likes it here, likes the team.
You would have liked him if we would have drafted him too.
Oh, he was a really good player. And generally, I feel like he sees things positively with the Eagles. So this struck me. Here's Chris Long on Sirianni.
When you become a head coach, you got to act like a head coach. Like, period, bro. I'm trying to put myself in. I said this yesterday. Put Nick Sirianni's brain in the other 31 coaches in the NFL's heads. Do a lobotomy. And imagine, name a coach in the NFL. Name a coach. Imagine any of these guys walking over to your own fan base talking shit at the end of the game because you beat the Browns. Mm. It's hard to imagine, especially when you consider that one of the most painful moments of this guy's tenure so far was walking out of that Chiefs stadium and poking the bear. What are you doing? They won the Super Bowl. You won a regular season game. So, I've never liked this part of it. I've never liked this energy. Act like a head coach. When the guy got a sudden haircut coming in the week, what did I say? Everybody knows this. Everybody knows my theory. My theory is when somebody gets a haircut suddenly or changes their facial hair, or dyes their hair, things are not good.
That's why I like that. Again, had a chance to talk to him a few times. That was the biggest thing going into that game for me, was the haircut. Because, like I said, it screams change. It screams, okay, I'm going to do things my way. And damn it, everybody else. I'm going to do this my way. I'm going out my way. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out on my terms. That's why I am so intrigued by this weekend's game. I really am. I am intrigued by it because it's going to be one or two. It's no middle ground with this team anymore. There is none. And I'm of the belief, and it might change after Sunday, but I'm of the belief that they're going to rally behind their coach. I really am. I think they're going to rally behind him. And I think that they're going to go out there and they're going to execute much better than they have.
Quick question. Do we think the hair shaving is going to keep that up, or is he now going to let it grow back? Or are we buzzing that thing one more time Friday before we kick this thing off Sunday? Because you can go on, and I've done this over the course of my time. I went from having a bunch of hair, then Sirianni doesn't have thinning hair. He just made a choice. But once you go down to like a buzz cut or shave, you got to keep doing it, right? Or it just grows back. So what do we think the hair looks like Sunday? Because if you want to keep that look, it takes maintenance. You got to do it again on Friday.
I think that with as low as he cut it, it's not an issue this week. Next week is the week. Because, you know, us bald guys know how. I haven't had a haircut in a couple weeks, and it ain't grew not none. So, you know what I mean?
But he's not bald.
No, but I'm saying, yeah. But mine ain't grew not none. Well, so it's just different. It grows. It just don't grow in the spots that it don't grow in.
That's part of the problem. Yeah.
Another theory could be, not that he's balding, You know how Eagles coaches age like United States presidents?
They do.
What if he's going gray?
Oh, that could be. The stress, yeah. I mean, seriously, go look at a picture of Andy when he got here and left. I know that was 14 years. Doug wasn't here that long. Doug looked awful when he got out of here. I mean, that last year, he looked weathered like an old catcher's mitt. I mean, Doug did not look good at the end, and Sirianni's heading that way. Let's go back to the phones. 215-592-9494 on all things Phils. Did that presser bother you? And, of course, the Sirianni situation. He'll speak, by the way, at 12. We'll bring it to you on WIP. Ron in Monco. Ron.
Hugo and JoJo, what's up?
Ron, how are we feeling?
Well, you know, I think Longy's on to something because I'll tell you, when the Phillies got knocked out, I went right into the bathroom and shaved my ass. And that was that. I shaved the queen. So anyway, I haven't called in a while, so let me get this out of my system. Before I tear this guy a new one, I got to defend him first, and that's Dombrowski. Because Dombrowski, Joe, we've talked about this long, long ago and very lengthy. The trajectory was set when Dombrowski got here. He did not dissect the trajectory of this team and which way it was going. That was Middleton when he went and bought the Golden Boy. That there is when you set the trajectory. You couldn't stop. And it was the perfect storm. That's when, right when, I mean, I think the Phillies with Harper, they exceeded everybody in the $330 million contract, and then it just snowballed from there. And it was going to happen anyway. But I'm going to tell you something, guys. This thing about him not doing anything at the trade deadline, Joe, that was a big, hard no by the CEOs. Okay, they weren't going to open the checkbook, okay, and let him do what he did. And then with these bad contracts that we're eating now, okay, you're going to decimate our farm system. So let's get that straight, because you know if he could, he would have drained the swamp to fix this thing. And they said no, and that's how that went, guys.
So you think he's got one hand tied behind his back here?
Now, I think what happened here, Joe, is this guy's a hatchet man. That's what he is. Okay, he came in and he was the guy. Middleton was ready to make the deal. The CEOs were ready to make it. They realized they had to spend money. The problem with Dombrowski is he went and got the B-list players. That's what he did. $300 million for that shortstop. Tie one on Walker. Okay. How much he paid? You've got so many bad contracts. This thing is like the Titanic, man. It's hit the iceberg, and you ain't salvaging this thing. It's going to be ugly, guys, for a long time.
Well, I don't have to accept that. He can make some changes here.
Well, I need his life, Joe, but guess what? I don't care anymore. I'm done with the Birds. I'm done with the Phillies. I really mean this when I say it. I can't take it anymore with these teams. And Hugh, before I go, Hugh, listen. Before you came here and took position on the 10-2 show, you called here about a year prior, and I got on the phone with you, and I said, Hugh, you are not. I didn't know you were coming here, Hugh. Mm-hmm. And nobody did. But I said to you, Hugh, if you were here right now and you saw what was going on with this football team and the drama, and that's all, and that the nonsense that goes on with this Birds now, I said you wouldn't believe it. Now do you believe me, Hugh?
It's different.
It's different. It's a soap opera, dude. This ain't football.
It's different.
This city, and I hate to say this, but this city, listen, we always sucked. We suck at everything. You know what I mean? But the thing of it is, we used to be tough, and we're not tough anymore, and that's why I'm gone. I can't take it anymore. I just cannot take anybody.
Where are you going?
I can't take another season of any of it.
Don't leave us.
Ron, you're not going anywhere. Don't lie to yourself. You'll be right back here.
You're a lifer.
Come to Delco, Ron.
You're in for life, Ron. This is life. It's a life sentence, Ron. You're in.
Well, I was born and raised in Delco, Kyle.
I can tell.
That's why I know Delco sucks. Okay.
Whoa.
I'm born and raised in Havertown, dude.
There you go. Me too.
Okay? Huh?
I'm in Havertown.
That's why Havertown went down the toilet. What's the matter with you? You got to move out of there. Now, listen, guys, you're done. It's over. I'm telling you, it's over. The football team's done. The owners are ruining our sports. It's the owners, guys. Let me ask you, Joe, before you let me go, Joe. his first move, his marquee move, when he took over Montgomery's spot, Middleton, what did he do? He went to the worst franchise in baseball in the last 45 years and took on their CEO and their Clintac, Al McPhail and Clint. Who does that? That was his first move.
Yeah, it was for a while. And Ron, there's a lot there. I don't believe Ron. He's in for life. He can pretend he's out.
I mean, man, listen. Don't we do this every year?
Yeah.
We burn jerseys. Who was that just called? Was this guy?
David threw all his Philly stuff in the trash.
And I'm like, why would he do that? Because he's going to buy some more next year as soon as trash.
Well, I don't think people think that stuff through when they do it.
No.
But and it's great for the Phillies. Because you're gonna buy some more
money.
Stuff. Yeah.
Well, I was eyeing up that bridge during this Phillies Mets series. I'm still here.
You're still that we can pretend we're out and then we come right back in.
Yeah, it's what we do, man. This is how we're built. This is what we're gonna do. We're gonna complain. And ain't nothing wrong with complaining.
Well, there's been a lot lately to complain about.
We're going to get on the couch. We're going to talk it out.
That's WIP.
Yeah, and we're going to be right back when it all starts again.
There's no question.
Yeah.
Now we could be skeptical.
We're always going to be skeptical and recklessly speculate about stuff.
That's what we do on this show.
All day.
All right, this hour is sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly Popeyes, fly, and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes. Ken and Cinnamon. And hey, Ken.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning, Ken. What's up today?
I just had to check the clock and see if it's still morning. I tell you what,
Ken, the connection there, not great. We'll get back to Ken. Joe in the Northeast, I'm sure he has a lot to say on the Phillies. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Don. You.
Hey, Joe.
What's going on?
You know, what bothered me about that, I only caught the tail end of what Thompson saying about the breaking the team. Everybody wants us to break the team up, but then I've heard the excerpts you've given about Dombrowski, and the thing that bothered me about anointing the shortstop position to Turner. And did we hear any apologies to the season ticket holders who went ahead and bought tickets for the NLCS and the World Series? And now they keep their money and put it toward their game plans. There was no apology for them not moving on, And in reference to Topper, I'll give this to you at the end. He should have been replaced. I'll give you 3 moves that they can make.
Let's hear them.
Okay. It's Jurison Profar. He's a free agent. I hated this guy when he played for the Astros, Alex Bregman.
I love Bregman. Joe, they need a hitter like Bregman. I would like him here.
Okay, so you get those 2 guys, all right? And then we take the guy who hates this leaping place, and you trade him. I'll tell you why this deal would be doable, because Arizona Diamondbacks, they have their corner position players, Christian Walker, who's 34.
And Suarez, Eugenio Suarez.
He's a free agent, right?
Yep, yes. Walker, they both are. Yeah, and Walker's going to get a lot of money from somebody, yep.
Well, they have the option on Suarez, all right? I want their catcher, Gabby Marino, okay? And why they'll give him up is because they have a left-handed catcher named Del Castillo. Remember, he played against us in August in the series, and we couldn't get him out.
Yeah.
He hit 318. So they'll take, if they're not keeping Walker or Suarez, they'll take Baum. And Baum might have a good year there. That's okay, because this kid, the catcher, is only 24 years old.
Joe, I'm into these ideas. Joe, we got to get you on the phone with Dombrowski, because let's get an option, because they spoke a lot about that yesterday. They're going to play JT less, or at least open the eye they play in less. And Joe, it's a good phone call. I like that. That's Joe's first offseason phone call. Alex Bregman, Moreno from the Diamondbacks. Here, we got ideas now to fix this thing.
Already, but is it like the NBA where the money has to fit? Mm-hmm. Or you just get rid of the guys?
No,
and
you can
move
just
on.
Trade. Okay. It doesn't matter. Yeah. I mean, certain teams will not want to take on money, right? Mm-hmm. And it's about how much the Phillies are willing to spend. Obviously, the Bregman will be pretty expensive as the top third baseman out there. Yeah, I like him a lot. Ken in Cinnamons. And hey, Ken.
Ken.
He's back.
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. It's still morning, right?
Sorry, yes, we got you now. We can hear you.
On top of the Betsy Ross Bridge, yes. So, listen, before I get to Dombrowski, because that was the most annoying thing I've maybe ever heard in my life yesterday. I, I just another example of why I dislike Jeff McClain so much. The journalism that relies on unnamed Eagles sources. I mean, it could be a parking lot attendant at Lincoln Financial Field. Hmm. If you're not willing to put your name on it, then you shouldn't say it. And that's basically the same thing I said yesterday about being a fan. If you're not willing to put your name on it, don't say it. So I understand why the players don't like Jeff McClain, because I'm not even a player, and I think he's a weasel. So just to get that out of the way. But listen, the least annoying thing I heard from Dombrowski yesterday was that they extended Topper. And I don't think Topper should be back. I don't think that there's any rational argument for bringing him back. But that was the least annoying thing I heard yesterday. When I hear the president of baseball operations continually refer to league average as the defense for, why they shouldn't, make wholesale changes. And I understand there's some posturing going on there. If you really can find somebody who would give you anything for Austin Hayes, you probably don't want to go out and say bad things about him in the season-ending press conference. But, I mean, the word average is by definition average. So if the justification to bring everybody back is, well, hey, look at the league average. Like, I'm not giving John Middleton my money every year for the last 20 years at this point with season tickets, because I'm expecting average.
And he's not paying, Ken, to your point, and it's a good phone call. I'm glad you brought that up. He's not paying for average. That's why he's paying Dave Dombrowski. Mm-hmm. The quote that got me yesterday, it's not good, but it's not the worst. And one quick thing, I don't know Jeff McClain. I read him. We play his clips sometimes. I see him here in the hallway sometimes. I never actually had a conversation with him. That's what a reporter has to do.
Yeah, he don't speak to us.
I'm not interested in defending him because whatever. I don't know him.
But I mean, but he does a good job. Whether or not he speaks the anonymous quotes, he does a good job.
We got Sirianni coming up next. I'm sure Jeff will ask a question. Wonderful. I'm just saying, like, if you got a quote from a really important person, you're not going to not go with that because they won't give you their name. It's how it works.
He's been pretty solid. Like, his information has been pretty solid.
To me, that's more of an issue with the person saying the quote and saying, don't quote me. Or it's the business itself, but whatever. Yeah, whatever. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. Your phone calls, the Sirianni presser next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Y'all know how much I love bacon. And I especially love Hatfield bacon for breakfast. I can eat bacon all day. And now Hatfield has made it easier to enjoy a delicious breakfast with their new breakfast line. They have savory breakfast ham slices. They got pork roll. They got juicy breakfast sausage links. And Canadian bacon. And soon in your grocery store's frozen section, Hatfield's frozen sausage patties and links. Perfect for those busy mornings. Head to simplyhatfield.com to find a retailer near you. Find your flavor with Hatfield.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.